You're listening to SBS News.
Early morning on the 4th of September 2010, Christchurch, often called the Garden City on New Zealand's South Island, was rudely awakened by a massive 7.1 magnitude earthquake at 4:35 a.m. The powerful quake triggered a series of more than 11,000 aftershocks, one of which was so big it ended up claiming 185 lives in Christchurch 5 months later. Jim Palmer was the CEO of Waimakariri Council at the time. Standing in front of ruined houses in the suburb of Kaiapoi, he says the quake's destructive power was plain to see.
There's been large areas of lateral shift or spread, and properties in this part of Kaiapoi have moved up to 3 metres from where they were prior to the earthquake, and so houses have been slid sideways, and this house that we're standing in front of has moved a couple of metres from where it was prior to the quake.
Many parts of Christchurch were affected by liquefaction, a smelly quicksand-like substance which bubbled up out of the ground. Mr. Palmer says that was, for some residents, as terrifying as the quake itself.
I understand the resident came out, ran out the front door and actually fell into the liquefied material and sunk up to their waist, and it was obviously a very scary and frightening experience for them.
The epicentre of the quake was beneath Darfield, west of the city itself. One of the communities nearest to the epicentre is Hororata. The vicar of St John's Church in Hororata was Jenny Carter. The century-old stone-built church was wrecked by the quake.
The quake was a really frightening experience for everyone in the community, including myself. And just coming out and seeing the building was heart-wrenching.
The quake was a massive challenge for New Zealand's emergency services. A contingent of soldiers from Singapore were training with the New Zealand Defence Force in the area, and they were deployed across the city to help. For residents without power or water in many cases, it was eerie to see armoured vehicles with soldiers at street corners. This firefighter was one of the first on the ground.
The most important thing is trying to get information of what's actually happened. We knew it was a huge earthquake, so then we had to get information back from people in the field. We had to get people out in the field as fast as we could, get some information back, and then respond accordingly. We had 3 teams in the field within an hour and a half after we got to the base. So we went straight to the city and sectorised it and had a good look around.
96-year-old May was a resident at a retirement home in the suburb of Brindoor at the time, and she told reporters this wasn't her first experience of a major quake. She says that experience meant she wasn't afraid of the quake, so she was busy saying prayers for those who were.
I was just busy putting in a word for all those who have been so hurt. But it wasn't anything like the West Coast one. You know, when I was 15, the hillsides were all changed, you know, and the people were buried alive. It was a terrible thing.
Another former resident of Brindoor was then Prime Minister John Key.
In fact, I just went back to my old house actually and saw our old next door neighbour, who's 92. So she's in remarkable shape actually. She's doing very well.
So
the chimneys actually in the street, not in her house, but in the street, yes, quite a few actually. But the houses are very well built, so they seem to have held together extremely well.
That was the case in many parts of the quake hit city. Ironically, it was the older stone-built buildings, such as the Heritage Victorian Christchurch Arts Centre, which were most badly damaged. One council expert said it was possible to have attractive masonry or possible to have a safe building, but not possible to have both in an earthquake zone. Structural engineer Neil Spall said the sound construction of many houses in the city, however, saved lives.
Some of it's got to come down. The old masonry obviously has taken the biggest hit, but the modern structures have done quite well.
Yeah.
And there's not a rush in to knock these things down, but more to secure them so people can take time to have a look at them.
But there was no getting away from the fact that the city had taken a major hit. The destruction appeared random. In a row of shops, one would be reduced to rubble, while the one next door was apparently intact. Major Mike Allwright was with the Salvation Army in the suburb of Lynwood. He said they were coping with helping hundreds of distressed people and finding some unusual answers.
A normal month for us here would be 80 families. We've done 500 or thereabouts in a week. Yes, it's not normal. So we've been helping families. We've got a team of counsellors working out of here. We've also got people going out into the streets. And what they're doing is they're going about just talking to people And a lot of people have donated us simple things like home baking, which has been fantastic. You know, ladies have been boarding these little plates of cakes and that. And the team that's going out around the streets is handing out home baking. And there's nothing nicer in an emergency than a bit of home baking. It just makes a difference.
As the vicar of the village of Hororata, Jenny Carter said she was just one of many people who set out to support the community in the wake of the disaster. And the community came together.
Well, I'm only one of many in the community that people are looking to. And because the community is so knitted together, the support has been in all directions and across all levels of the community. So as much as I'm giving out, I'm receiving as well. And that's just what church and community is all about.
Cruelly, just as people in Christchurch were beginning to feel they were beginning to see recovery, a massive aftershock struck the city just 5 months later in February. That quake struck in the middle of the day when the CBD was full of people. It collapsed the city's historic cathedral and claimed the lives of 185 people. 10 years on, the city is still recovering. Alan Lee, SBS News.